Seriously with Martin Bester.
November is Men's Mental Health Month. Today, I want to focus on financial stress and the impact that finances will have on mental health. And to help us with this is Munya Shumba, a financial advisor. Munya, thanks for your time. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Martin.
I think it's underrated. I think it's possibly one of the most common causes of mental health problems for men and women, men specifically. Do you agree?
100%. I think financial stress is probably the number one cause of mental health issues. And, you know, I think anyone who's, and everyone who's ever been in a position when you don't have that pressure of not knowing how you're going to put food on the table, especially if you've got a family, that pressure of not knowing how you're going to put fuel in the car to get to work, there's nothing that hurts more, stings more than that pressure. And, you know, we find, whether it's in relationships, even if you're a bachelor, men and women, but I think men more to a larger extent have got that need to protect, to care, to look after and to take care of things. And when you can't do that as a man, as an individual, I think that's where the stress and the anxiety kick in.
So there's the physical challenge, obviously, as you said, to put physical food on the table, to put fuel in the tank and stuff. But I think it's also an expectation thing.
Yes.
If you've been doing something at a certain level, I suppose the expectation from the family and friends to that extent would be to maintain it.
Yeah, I think there is that expectation, but I think it even goes further than that. You know, and I recall many conversations as a young man growing up, even as a boy, where my father used to say to me, you know, Munya, if there's ever a situation in your house where you can't put food on the table for your family, it's your fault.
Sure.
And I think we have that naturally as guys at the back of our mind that ultimately it's on you. So there's that pressure, and you're 100% right by saying that the expectation where you can't necessarily do what you could do before. But as life will happen, that's going to ebb and flow over time anyway. The nice thing about having a good financial plan and making sure that, you know, you have an ongoing commitment to making sure that you do have reserves and emergency buffers, etc., do help mitigate that to some extent.
It's captured in the language that we use. It broodwinner, the breadwinner, the provider, and all that kind of thing. That's where the expectation and the pressure comes from.
Yeah.
I think the challenge is to realize that you don't have to do it alone. Just because you are providing, just because you're earning and providing, doesn't mean you have to be the only one doing it. Or at least if you're the only one physically earning, you can get help with it.
From a planning perspective, you know, absolutely. And but Martin, the onus is most certainly on you. And if I'm just to give you, you know, one stat, 41% of individuals will run into some emergency over the course of a year.
Okay.
Right? If I extrapolate that, and I don't know what the stats are over a 2 or 3 or 5 year period, but obviously the longer we stretch that out, you know, the higher that percentage increases. So if you know that there's a very good chance, almost a 50-50 chance, that you're going to have a financial issue over the course of 12 months, maybe your car gets out of a motor plan, maybe there's a family member not on a medical aid that needs assistance with, whatever the case may be.
Good chance it could happen.
Good chance it can happen. If you know that upfront, that there's a guarantee that over the next couple of years, I'm going to have an issue, is it not a good idea for us to be able to prepare for that over time? And I think the misconception is that you have to be funneling big bucks into some kind of portfolio in order to be able to do that. That's not actually the case. You'd be amazed how far small amounts of money can go over time, a small commitment over time to creating a massive nest egg or a massive pool of emergency funds. And I think that's one of the things that I take a lot of satisfaction and a lot of joy out of, you know, in assisting individuals, where we take, you know, a relatively modest debit order.
Okay.
And, you know, over time, when these people come back to me, all of a sudden there's this massive reserve that has just accumulated gently over time, which is going to make a massive impact and release that financial stress.
I wanted to say, I think for a lot of people who are in relationships, or, you know, and their partner is the breadwinner provider, let's say, I think what happens very often is that the breadwinner won't talk about it. So the situation gets worse and worse and worse, but there's no communication with the partner to say, listen, we may be in a financial bind right now. We need to start, you know, making cutbacks, that kind of stuff. And only when it kind of reaches its pinnacle, whatever that may be, does the partner now realize, oh, we've actually been struggling for months on end.
Yeah.
How do we open up that communication between, I suppose, men and women and have those conversations. I don't think men want to talk about it. It's embarrassing.
Men don't want to talk about it. Couples don't talk about it. And if you're going to be in a relationship, especially if you guys are living together as a couple, there is 100% certainty that you guys have to have the money conversation at some particular point. Because if you don't, everything that you've just highlighted at some point is going to happen. Now, that could be a ticking time bomb 6 months down the line, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. You can't get away with it forever, but it's uncomfortable. It's not easy to speak about the fact that, you know, maybe you've got a credit card that's 200 grand in debt. Maybe you've got a personal loan that you've been paying for good reason that you still need to be able to account for. So it's about being vulnerable. You know, that vulnerability that comes with finances, your health and your finances. I think those two things more than ever are what makes those conversations difficult. But I think what people don't understand is how freeing it can be with the two of you actually have that conversation. Because everyone's probably, both of you probably have got a little bit of dirty linen out there that would be great to get out. And I think that will help, you know, from a cohesion perspective, dealing with obstacles as when they come. So it is great to have those conversations.
You were talking just now about small amounts of money over time, obviously accumulate, and that could be the rescue plan, you know, in desperate times.
Yeah,
there's a sense, I think for a lot of people, it's too late now. When is too late?
It's never too late.
40, Mark. 50, 60.
Nah, it's never too late. I made a great video about this, which was extremely popular, which was, is it too late to start at 40? And maybe I should do another one, is it too late to start at 50? Most of the individuals who reach out to me looking for assistance are factors of all ages. But it's not a surprise for people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s to come out to me and say, I need assistance. I think it's too late. And do you know what, Martin? Every single time, we work out a plan to get them out of a hole.
Really?
Every single time.
So coming back to the link between financial stress and men's mental health specifically, what are we saying to people? Firstly, open communication.
Absolutely.
Secondly, it's not too late to start with that rescue fund, even the smallest amount. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't and you land yourself in a huge financial mess? The kind of mess that is going to change your life, your lifestyle, and that of your families. What then?
Well, let's look at the options. If someone finds themselves in that situation, you've only really got two options.
Okay.
Right? Option one is stay where you are and feel sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just being honest.
Sure.
Option one is stay where you are. And I can guarantee you there's a 100% track record that nothing good comes from that. Right? 100% track record. So you've only got one option. The one option is to come up with a plan, seek help, see a professional, where you can actually now get some stepping stones and a roadmap out of the mess that you're in. And it's not going to be easy. It will most likely be painful. There will be sacrifices. There's things that you're going to have to forego.
Okay.
You're going to have to make changes. And I think you mentioned the social media aspect in terms of an expectation. You mentioned expectation. You're going to have to realize that some of those expectations of what was once before is gone.
Sure.
Right? That is gone.
Yeah.
And you have to be very frank with yourself. And if you're not prepared to do that, then you're going to be back in Exhibit A.
It can't be all or nothing. It cannot be all or nothing. There is a middle way. You might change your car. You might change the address.
Sure.
But that is a better option than going from everything to, quite frankly, and I'll call it by its name, suicide.
Yeah.
No, sure. And, you know, I mean, if those are your options, then by all means, yes, of course, you have to find some kind of middle ground. But I do think that if you're going to have to make adjustments, remember the adjustments are not forever.
Okay.
And even if you have to make some short-term pain for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, a year.
Okay.
And I'm speaking here about small sacrifices of, you might have had a dinner night a couple of times a week.
Sure.
You might have picked up coffee every single morning on your way to work. I'm just speaking about being extremely honest with yourself as an individual about what needs to change. And I've been through this many times where someone sits there and says, well, when you know, I spend $5,000 a month on groceries or $3,000 a month on groceries, whatever the question is. And when we sit there and I say, well, I challenge you, let's go through the statements. And it's not $5,000. It's 15. It's 20.
Yeah.
It's 25.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just that realization on, and most people don't know. You know, you do a budget. If you're good enough to do a budget, you might have just said it's $5,000. But is it really?
Is it ready?
Rounding down?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Have you ever actually gone through 3 month statements and said, I'm actually just going to tick it off? I mean, let's be, if we're in a pickle, let's be granular with this, right? Let's actually look there and say, let's go through it line by line.
You might be surprised, actually. Mm. Shocked is the right word. You're so right.
Yeah.
The bottom line is there is proof that you can change.
Absolutely.
You can change your situation and your mental health and rescue your mental health.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when I speak about that short-term change, it might be a question there of it's 6 months and it's a small price to pay for freedom.
There is hope.
There's hope. You saw 6 months and saying, I'm not doing any of these things I was doing before. Yeah.
And the other thing and the last thing that I just want to reiterate is that you don't have to go it alone.
Mm. Absolutely.
Even if you can't look inwards towards the family or your partner or your children or even your parents, whatever the case may be, guys like yourselves,
no.
You literally, your mandate in life is, your occupation in life is to be there to give financial advice. And to Felicity's point, men are sometimes very bad with asking for anything, asking for advice, definitely asking for help, blah, blah, blah. But trust me, it might not take as long as you think. It might not take as much as you think, but there is a way out, right?
Absolutely. And Martin, if you wouldn't mind me just maybe adding to that point a little bit in terms of some of the other things that you can do. And this is maybe more for the youngsters. And one of the beauties that comes from taking small amounts of money, you know, I've been blessed to have seen students who I worked with for many, many years who started with putting away 50 Rand a month and have grown portfolios today that anyone would be proud of. But one of the low-hanging fruits, if anyone can open up a tax-free account as an investment account and you invest it into an equity fund, a global equity fund, and I want you to pay that money forever. You graduate, it'll become anything from 10 to 50 million Rand, depending on what you choose, etc., from 300 bucks a month. Now, from an income perspective, what that can become for you once you're, you know, in your latter years is anything from 5 to 20 grand a month just from having put away 300.
300 Rand. 300 Rand.
That's what it translates to as an income many, many years later.
It's less than you think.
And, you know, I mean, if you're in a position where you can make that 500 or 1,000,
sure.
God help us, 2-3 grand a month. Mm. I mean, where are you now?
Sure. Absolutely. Munya, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
It was great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure being here.
You're with your online family. Breakfast with Martin Besser.